This is the way.
This is the way.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Mandatorian Creed. I am your host, Tori Fox, and we are starting a new series this week. Went on a little bit of a little breaky break, because of life and other things. But we are back and better than ever with a series focusing on droids. So today's going to be our introductory episode, and I have with me a fantastic internet friend and host of the Force Time, a Star Wars podcast. Travis Bryant. Hello.
Hello. So excited to be here, Tori.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to have you. I got to tell on you a little, kind of brag on you, honestly, to the audience, because normally I type out an outline behind the scenes here for everyone. I type out an outline and I send it over, and I do a lot of research and I say, if there's anything you want to add, like, go ahead. And Travis just went for it. Like, we have so much content. I'm like not mad about it at all. Like, I'm just so excited that you're excited. Like, this is gonna be so fun.
I am so pumped. This is actually the first time I've guested on a podcast.
So, are you serious?
Yeah, yes. What? I'm very hard to book. I've been asked like 100. No, I'm just kidding. But but yes, this is the first time.
That's so wild, yeah, to me. You're great.
I'm all in. I'm ready to go. Talk about robots and droids and everything.
And what's the distinction? I felt like I was having, which I mean, we'll get to in a minute. Like, I feel like I was having like an existential like crisis. I was like, oh my gosh, like there's robots and then there's androids and then there's droids. There's like a difference.
Yes, it is very, very confusing for sure.
It's so interesting.
It is.
So I want to talk a little bit. First off, let's talk a little about, let's first talk about your Star Wars story. So give me a little background. Like, when were you introduced to Star Wars? Kind of what has your journey been like?
Yes. And this is another one, since this is the first time I've guessed it, I've asked this question. So I've been on the other end of this a lot of times, because this is like the first thing that I ask all my guests too. But
good question.
It is a great question. My Star Wars story starts a long time ago. No pun
in
intended.
A galaxy.
Yeah. But no, it starts when I was really young. I mean, my first memories of Star Wars were really, there's two things that distinctly I remember as like probably a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, like really young. First one being Star Tours at Disneyland. We went there when I was super young, and I just always remember C-3PO from that ride. And that always stuck with me. So that's like my number one. But also, I used to watch Star Wars at my grandma's house all the time. So she had it on, it wasn't Laserdisc. It was kind of like the other version of Laserdisc called Video Disc. And she had all of those. My uncle was a big Star Wars nerd. My mom was very into Star Wars. And so that was my first memory watching it, was just watching those over and over every time I went to my grandma's, putting it into the little player and pushing the little buttons and letting it go. And yeah, so I grew up, and Return of the Jedi was always the one that I remember the most, mainly because of the Ewoks and as a young kid and everything. That's just kind of what pulled me in. And then, yeah, fast forward, obviously, I'm a prequel kid. And so once those came out in theaters, I remember getting the VHS set of the original trilogy in that gold box, and getting that and watching all of those in order to get ready for the prequels to come out. And then, once the prequels come out, I mean, Episode 1, how can you not get drawn in by all the merchandise and the marketing around that? Like, that is probably my favorite era of Star Wars. And then it was over from there.
You will never have such a good era of merchandising, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Just so the good sheer amount and weirdness, which I think eventually I'll probably do a series on just like prequel merch, because it's bonkers, the stuff that exists. I just bought a backpack on eBay that has Jar Jar Binks on it.
Yes.
like a couple weeks ago.
All the Jar Jar stuff. Give me all the Jar Jar stuff.
It's great. I have like a pod racing fanny pack? Like, what was what was going on? They put it, they put that stuff on everything.
Yes.
It's great.
100%. Yes, they do. But yeah, and I'll fast forward just a little bit further. So obviously I grew up with the preschools, you know, stayed kind of in Star Wars a little bit here and there, but yeah, when the sequels came back out, of course the hype around The Force Awakens and all those new characters pulled me in so much. And then really what threw me into like this tailspin of fandom and like starting a podcast and all this stuff was The Last Jedi. After that, I had to dig in to everything. And I just, that's when I kind of joined the online fandom. That's when I met a lot of cool friends online, went to my first celebration in Chicago a couple years ago. And yeah, now I'm here with Force Time. So
that's amazing. I love that. I like super relate to the familial kind of like everyone in the family's into it kind of deal. I love that so much. And I love that you're also a prequel kid. Heck yes. Yes. But so let's talk a little bit about Force Time. Like you asked me on, oh God, I don't even know how long ago it was. It was definitely during quarantine. Yeah. And that's kind of how we started talking and being friends. And it was, I had such a good time talking with you. And then you also had me on for, you're doing a really cool, are you still doing this series?
Yes.
On? Okay. I thought you were, you're still doing your little series on, different, like Star Wars and different forms of media, basically.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have like a more official name for it. I'm messing up the name. I'm so sorry, but
no, I
you had me
it.
On for the SNL. One, yes. Which was super fun. And we watched a couple episodes and talked about how funny Star Wars is and all of them. But yeah, tell me a little about Force Time.
Yeah. So Force Time started in December of 2019. So like I said, I really started getting into the fandom after The Last Jedi. And then me and my friend Nick actually did the movie marathon, like the Skywalker saga movie marathon leading into.
Oh my
into,
gosh, where you don't leave the theater yeah, for like 20 hours or whatever.
Yeah,
oh
it was my intense. God. It was intense. And so I really wanted to document that in some way. And I just settled on a podcast. I had listened to so many podcasts that are just awesome, and Blast Points and Sky Talkers, a lot of just awesome podcasts out there that I really admired. And yeah, so that's how I decided I wanted to document it. So we kind of documented our time through the marathon, which was, yeah, I think it started at 4:15 on a Wednesday, and then we saw The Rise of Skywalker at like 6 the next day, and it was, yeah, all night. I didn't fall asleep. Plenty of people did fall asleep in the middle, but yeah, it was definitely an experience. I don't know if I'll do it again. I did it once.
Wild. I feel like you have to pick your least favorite and sleep during that one, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's what was kind of hard, because, you know, it starts off with the prequels where it's all like very visually stimulating and the sounds, it's just so loud and everything. And then the original trilogy was played overnight, and the original trilogy, you know, is a little bit slower paced and, you know, a little bit quieter, a little bit slower. And so yeah, a lot of people fell asleep kind of in that A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back time, because that was like the middle of the night. But my favorite part of the whole thing was there was, you know, it was probably like, I don't know, 40-50% of the theater was sleeping. And during the Empire Strikes Back, it was when they are in the Exogorth, right? When they fly the ship down there, they think they're in the asteroid field or whatever. And the, what are they called?
The Minox?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You definitely know the Minox. You have a Minox, right?
I have one on my desk. I'm looking at her right now.
Yes. Yes. So the Minox come out and it's like super quiet there for a while. And it's kind of like horror feeling a little bit. And then the Minox makes a super loud noise. And the people in front of us just like jumped wide awake. Like it was their alarm clock. And
that's,
it was
so funny. Oh my God. Awesome.
but yes, yeah, so, no, it was great. Love that. And then, yeah, the podcast has really, really grown. And over the last couple months, beginning of the year, maybe, started two series. So yes, one Star Wars and pop culture that haven't recorded in probably 3 or 4 weeks on one of those. But yeah, we've done 3 episodes in that where, yes, me and you covered Saturday Night Live on the first episode.
Very fun.
So fun. I covered Sesame Street with Brandon Winnerty from Talking Bay 94, and then covered Weird Al with my friend Brandon Lee. And that one was so much fun too. So yeah, have that one going. We're working on another one actually that hopefully will come out pretty soon. And then my other series is Chain Code right now, where
I was gonna ask about that.
Yes, where me and my friend Kara DJ, who I'm sure a lot of listeners know from Into a Larger World fanzine, we're deep diving into characters every so often. And we've done Chewbacca and Mace Windu so far. And
they're real fun.
Yes, they have been really fun. It's been awesome to really dig in and learn a lot more about the characters that you think you already know, but there's just so much more to learn.
All that extra content, baby. All those books and other things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so on the subject of Mace Windu, real quick before we go get to business here.
Yes.
Did Mace Windu save Grogu?
Ooh.
Discuss.
Wow. See, my headcanon was that R2 saved him.
This is my wild theory that I am peddling. Like, think about it. Okay. I don't even know if I've talked about this on the show before. I feel like I might have. If I have, I'm sorry, audience, you're listening again. I feel like, how many times have we seen someone in Coruscant like fall from a building or something and then just like catch onto a ship? Like what, like how did this powerful guy just like, oh, he threw out the window. That's it. Like, I feel like he had to have grabbed something on the way down. Right. Like
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I mean, again, there's nothing that says Grogu is at the Jedi Temple, but if we are to say like, okay, where would he maybe like should be? He probably should be at the temple because he's a very powerful force being. And you really think that they wouldn't have picked up on that? Unless there's a reason they didn't, which I mean.
Yeah, no, I like it though. I really like where your head's at on this one.
Anyways, I know Samuel L. Jackson will come back. Like, just do it.
Oh, he's the biggest Star Wars fan. I love following Samuel L. Jackson. That was.
I'm wearing my Windu City shirt right now. Oh my God.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yes.
From Chicago.
That was one of my favorite parts about that episode, is that we talked about Samuel L. Jackson and kind of his history and like went through some of his interviews that he had done. And if you're ever having a bad day, just literally Google Samuel L. Jackson talk show Star Wars, because he talks about Star Wars all the time
he lights up.
I mean, he's just so excited about it. So yes, 100%. If you're ever like feeling down, go watch Samuel L. Jackson talk about Star Wars.
I'm probably gonna do that later anyway. Oh, and real quick, you mentioned Kara and Into a Larger World. I just wanted to give that a more official plug. Y'all should check it out. It's Into a Larger World by Kara on Instagram, I believe. And she makes really, really cool Star Wars fanzines, just absolute works of art. And you can get a full subscription for a year for like, I don't even know. What was it? Was it maybe like $30? I don't know.
35,
I'm probably not quoting it. It is worth it. Please check it out. And she also does amazing prints. She did me a custom size Snoodles print. I'm looking at her right now. She's gorgeous. Like, she does amazing work. Check her out. Now let's get into droids.
Let's do it.
What's happening? So we're going to get into like the officialness of droids, because droids are actually largely a Star Wars specific thing, which I honestly didn't really think about up until researching for this. Like, I was kind of like, I'll do a series on droids. It'll be fun. And now I've gotten into it and I'm like, this is fascinating.
It is.
Words have such power. Fascinating.
For real. No, absolutely. It's, you know, you think of droids as just this general term that's just been there, you know.
Yeah, but they are uniquely Star Wars.
Yeah, it's totally not just a general term. It is very much just Star Wars.
Yeah. So they're really droids are robots / or androids. I think we kind of have a little bit of both in Star Wars, at least for me personally. I think the line is very dependent on the person though. Like, yeah. I think it's an interesting discussion that I think each person will probably have different opinions on this. But so the definition, I've looked up definitions here to kind of differentiate. The definition of a robot is a machine, especially one programmable by a computer, capable of carrying out a complex series of actions automatically. And then the distinction with an android is that an android is a robot with a more human-like appearance and is self-sufficient. So I just thought that was really interesting. And I kind of found myself kind of just looking at even things in my house, like is my phone a robot? Like, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, by that definition. I, absolutely. Yeah.
So like your phone's kind of like a robot. And then I was thinking of everything in Star Wars. And I think honestly, for the most part, I think it's kind of a split between what's a robot and what's an android, right? Because I think, but I also think that that depends on who you ask, because I think you can look at something like C-3PO and say, C-3PO is definitely an android, right? Like very human-like mm-hmm. appearance. But then you have something where the lines are a little more blurred, like maybe a gonk droid. And I think gonk droids, to me, I think they read a little more robot, but they do have human characteristics. They got little legs. They literally walk around.
Yeah. No. 100%. And another, you know, another one that I always think about is General Grievous. And like, where does he fall? Because he mm-hmm. looks like he'd be more like an android, because he kind of has a human appearance.
He's human-like, you know? Yeah. Arms and legs and head, yeah.
Right. And he's got also like, he was an actual, I can't remember what his actual species was, but he was, you know, an alien.
Yeah.
And exactly, so. Yeah. Yeah, where does he fall? Like robot, android, automaton? Like, yeah, it's...
Yeah. Well, I think with him, and I guess here, my gut reaction for this, again, this is not a definitive answer. This is my opinion. I'm not a doctor. This is my opinion. I automatically with him almost think of like, which it's clearly not exactly the same thing, but I think of the Vision from like Marvel Comics and mm-hmm. the MCU. That's kind of where I classify him, which is like, yes, you are a robot, or android-esque, but I do think that you probably can't classify him as such, because he also has actual human parts to him,
right?
Or I guess like the parts of an organism, right? Like that's not his species, but yeah. Yes. I think so that's where I'd place him.
He's more machine than man, so he'd be kind of like a Vader also.
That's the thing too, is I think the lines are even more so blurred with Star Wars, which we'll get a little bit more into this later, because I think this is the main distinction between like droids and like droids, the word droids, and like robots and androids, is I really think the determining factor for me anyway is personality.
Right.
Like I think you can have something that is an android in our real life, which are definitely things that are happening. I mean, look at the Spider-Man that just came out for Avengers Campus, right? Like that's an android. That's a human body essentially constructed out of metal that swings through the air. But I think you can assign a personality to that. But I think one of the main differences is that it's not an assigned thing. And in Star Wars, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like these droids, these robots, these androids, whatever you call them, are learning from their experiences and like formulating their own person.
Yes. Which we see a lot of throughout Star Wars.
I mean, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And I think even the assigning of a personality, like even having like a non-personality is a choice. Like I was thinking about the, I can't remember what the make of the droid is. It's the one that does the Ronto wraps.
Oh, yes.
That one that just looks so miserable and is just standing there and doing nothing. Like, that's a choice. Like, that's still kind of its personality, that it's just like miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Choosing to feel bummed out about having to make those all day. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and like that one's very deadpan. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't like say anything really, but like, that is a choice. That is its personality.
Yes. So. Yeah. No, 100%. Because it that is, you know, it's not neutral, right? So it's not like just there. It's, you can either be, you know, happy that you're making Ronto wraps, or you can be just bummed out that you're there doing that all day.
Exactly. Exactly. So robots and androids and things like them have existed in media far before even movies have. I thought it was very interesting to look at, and is this 100% a robot? Like, probably not, but you kind of see the beginning of what might be a robot or an android in things like there was the Finnish myth, the Kalevala, which in which a woman was forged out of gold. And you have a lot of different myths that have in Greek mythology, in ancient Egypt, early Buddhism, Chinese lore. You kind of have this constant pattern of people being made of metal and things like that, that is not like clearly a natural thing. So I think that's kind of probably the start, right, of our humanity's interest in things that could be robot like.
Yes. And not to make this like a just a robot podcast, but like we were talking before we came online, and this stuff is so interesting how far it goes back. Cause like you just said, like robots and things that look like robots or androids go all the way back to Greek mythology, to ancient Egypt, like you said. And it's really interesting to look at a lot of those stories just in general. And a lot of the early iterations of what we know as robots, the stories are centered around that thing. And, you know, it's not until way, way, way later that it's just a robot coexisting with a human. It's like, okay, this story is all about, you know, this robot, whether it's, you know, a lot of the stories were making robots out to be villains. They were something to be defeated, something to be feared. And, you know, Star Wars really doesn't do this, where Star Wars, they just coexist from the get-go. You know, obviously there's different relationships throughout Star Wars with, you know, humans and aliens and droids, but it's not just a robot story. And then like, as you move through history, you know, like I said, a lot of the robots were made out to be villains and feared. Once you get to like the Industrial Revolution in like the 1700s, 1800s, that period of time, there was something called automaton anxiety that still actually exists today.
Oh, absolutely.
Feared robots. At that time, they were fearing robots that they would take their jobs. And that still exists today, right? You go to the checkout and you see all the self-checkouts and you're like, wow, that could be somebody working there. Like, what's going on? And so that is still persistent, but there's always just this fear of robots that has just existed from the beginning. And it's just, yeah, it's fascinating, the history of robots all the way from like the beginning of time to where we are today.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about those like small, even though like clearly I don't think that there was a discussion about, you know, in Greek times of like, I mean, maybe there was, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people make assumptions that are like, oh, they weren't that advanced. It's like, no, like a lot of ancient cultures were super advanced. But I think I in the myth kind of section of this, like in myths, are they thinking about like this thing has mechanisms inside of it that are propelling it? Like, I feel like, you know, clearly like someone made of gold, it's probably more of a supernatural thing, if you will. But it's interesting to see these almost like little seeds planted as ideas, you know. I thought this was super interesting. So credited with popularizing the word android is an 1886 novel by Auguste Villiers de L'Isle Adam, and it's called The Future Eve. So like I said, it popularized the word android, but it had, it was named, I guess you pronounce it Hadley, a mechanical woman that was ran by electricity. It looks like, did you like actually read the plot to this? Okay. It looks
So this plot, it's actually really wild. And, you know, I think if you probably look into it a little bit deeper, you could see that there's some sort of meaning, but it's, you know, it was written in 1886. It was very misogynistic. Like, oh, let's just get that out there right now.
Yeah. Cause like the perfect woman.
So there's a fake, it's basically Thomas Edison in this story, but it's a fiction story. So it's like Thomas Edison, in quotes, was he built this robot, Hadley, and he did it to create, basically, in quotes again, the perfect woman. And he gives it to this guy who wanted to leave his wife because, like, physically she was perfect, but intellectually she wasn't. Again, very misogynistic. Mm-hmm. And so he gives it to this guy. He gives the robot, you know, here, go live your happily ever after. You know, this robot's going to do, you know, everything that you ever wanted out of a wife, you know, going to be intellectually, physically, whatever. But then, like, the end of the story ends with this guy, his name's Ewald, leaves with the robot, but the ship crashes and the robot is lost at sea. So there's something deeper there. But yes, I had to, when I saw that in the notes, I had to look at it and I was like, wow, that's pretty wild story for 1886 for sure.
Yeah. Like that's pretty early on. Which is, you know, yeah, I didn't read the full plot. I know that it was like the perfect woman scenario, but man, okay, she's lost at sea.
Yeah, it's that like, okay, well, you did all this stuff and everything was supposed to be perfect, but like, is that really what you want, or is that really what should happen? And again, like the robot got destroyed, so it's like kind of that, you know, is there fear in the back of their mind as far as, you know, what could happen down the line with this robot? But yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, wow. Another thing that I looked into, so there's Ozma of Oz in 1907, a book by Frank L. Baum. This is kind of the first ever introduction of a humanoid appearance, mechanical man that would be a more humanoid robot. And this is 15 years before the word robot was coined, apparently. And I had to double take it. The robot's name is TikTok, and yes, it's spelled like the app.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. I was wondering if the estate of L. Frank Baum got paid for that from TikTok, because yeah, you know, it's straight up the same thing.
Another thing that came up with this, which we'll get into later, is I have started to think about like that way in general now because of what I learned about the word droid being like trademarked.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, yeah, I think about everything. I'm like, I wonder if that's trademarked. Yeah, I wonder if they have to pay the L. Frank Baum estate.
Yes, I'm very glad you saw that name was TikTok, because yeah, it was in a novel, but there's pictures, you know, drawings, and yes. Mm-hmm. TikTok basically has like a circle for a body, which kind of looks, you know, BB-8-ish. Mm-hmm. And then the arms and the legs look very C-3PO-ish. And then his head, he's just got like a circle head, but he has like a mustache and a hat.
Incredible.
It just makes me laugh. If you please look up TikTok in Ozma of Oz 1907, because yeah, it's it is a pretty awesome robot.
It's funny to me to think about, there's so many robots I feel like that have like mustaches. Like, think about it, there's a lot, like, and it is kind of the older ones. I don't know if that just makes you more comfortable that you're interacting with like a hunk of metal, but like
yeah,
I have no idea. That was so funny. The first robot in cinema, allegedly, I couldn't find anything to the contrary, so
yeah.
Was Houdini, which is wild to me. I used to be super into magic, so it was a Harry Houdini movie, or really a serial filmed. Houdini's the Master of Mystery in 1919. It was 15 installments. And yeah, it was named Q, the automaton. I feel like I can't say that word, automaton.
Yeah.
And you said it's played by Floyd Buckley.
Yeah. And in this one, there's video of it. Like you said, first robot, yeah,
it's
cinema. It is. And, it's very cool how they did it. And really, if you like dig into a couple of the clips, this is kind of the first time, again, that you could find that you see like on screen how a robot might move, you know, or an android, basically, because this is more human like type of an android. Very physically clunky design, but it's that like that movement that's kind of tight and just kind of clunky, and it's like the robot dance, right? How the robot dance. It's like that's kind of how he walks, and that's kind of, you know, especially being the first robot in cinema, that's, you know, one of the first, or that's the first iteration of that kind of acting as a robot too. So we know Anthony Daniels is C-3PO and how awesome he is and just the way that he moves and things like that, but this, yeah, Floyd Buckley deserves some awards or something,
where it all began. Yeah. And yeah, I'm sure that had a lot to do with all the notions that we have about robots now. I mean, yeah. I think now, and it's interesting to even think about like kids growing up now, I'm sure don't have the same view of like when you say robot to me, I do think of like, which we're going to talk about in a minute, like Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons, Or even just like the old, really older, like sci-fi movies where there's a big giant robot that is moving in that very confined way. But now that technology has advanced so much, I feel like maybe like kids growing up today don't think about that. They might think of a more smoother, more refined robot because that's what exists and actually kind of exists in the real world now.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, now you see like, you know, the Boston laboratories or whatever it is, robots that they do.
Oh my gosh.
Like that stuff is terrifying. But yeah, it is much smoother. It is that, I'm trying to think of like general robots you see today, but like, even, you know, like androids, like iRobot, like stuff like that, where it's like not that clunky, like moving like a old robot, but like, you know, the newer version. But yeah, that Q the Automaton is really cool. And I found a movie poster too that they put out, and it kind of goes back to that, like robots are to be feared, like they're scary, they're villains. And so there's a movie poster with Q the Automaton on it, and it says, "A mechanical figure with a human brain, a weird, unconquerable villain, a metal masterpiece that cannot be destroyed, a giant form three times the size of man." So it's that fear. It goes back to that, like, robots are scary. They're bad. We need to defeat them or else they're going to take over the world type thing. Where, again, like, once we move into Star Wars, it's not that at all.
Yeah. Definitely. And like you're saying, like, it's interesting to think about how they end up being like, they're just a part of the world of Star Wars. Like, it's not even, you know,
it's not
a centerpiece. They just exist. It's just part of every facet of life. And who knows, maybe we'll get there one day as a society.
Yeah.
Where it's a little more, I mean, we're kind of on the way, right? Like, I mean, I feel like you're not having that Jetsons kind of lifestyle just yet that's accessible to everyone, but I think it's interesting.
I do have a robot. I have a Roomba, right, that cleans our hardwood floor. And I have to tell you my Roomba's name. Have I ever told you this before?
No, I'm excited.
It's Sweep 3PO.
Oh, that's great. That is so good.
There it is. Yes, it's Sweep 3PO. So yes, it's in my phone, like in the app is Sweep 3PO. And yeah, it cleans our floor. So kind of like Rosie the Robot, right? Like that cleaning type droid. So
yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. So the first use of the word robot was in Carol Čapek's play RUR, which stands for Rossum's Universal Robots. It was written in 1920 and performed in 1921. So that was very interesting that it's kind of first use that we know of is a play of all things, and in the title too. And it was interesting too, because the person who wrote the play, I guess they like approached him about it at some point, the word robot. And he had kind of gone back and forth. There was kind of a couple other options. But I guess his brother ultimately was really the one that kind of came up with it. So.
Wow. Just kind of worked out. But yeah, it's wild that was 1920 before the word robot.
Yeah. Like, I mean, recorded, somewhere. I guess. I mean, who knows, you know, maybe someone else was calling it, maybe using a similar word, but yeah, technically that's it. And then, yeah, let's get to Rosie the Robot in the 1960s because I think of her almost immediately. And I think it's her head. It's that boxy head. That's just like, I mean, it's literally almost what the robot emoji is in your phone, right? Yeah. Like, it's just that classic. And that's the thing is, technically speaking, I mean, maybe not Rosie the Robot, because I think she's on wheels, right? She doesn't have legs.
Yep. Yeah. There's like two, she has like two little rolling wheels on the bottom of her feet. Yeah.
So, even still, I would say, you know, technically speaking, if we're looking at it through a lens of robot versus android, she's more of an android because she is kind of human. Like, she has a head, she has arms, right? Mm-hmm. But I still think she's a robot. I think when they're shaped like that in my head, I'm like, that's a robot.
Yeah, you definitely, when you see Rosie, it's like that's a robot. But yeah, by definition, it probably would be, more android. And yeah, she's like fully, her personality's there, like 100%. And she thinks on her own and everything too. So yeah, Rosie the Robot, she's awesome.
kind of a droid, actually, really. She could kick it in Star Wars. Absolutely.
Yeah. And she was there, you know, kind of. I mean, yeah, she was their worker or whatever you want to call her, but she was there to coexist. You know, she wasn't to be feared. She was there to help, you know, which there wasn't a ton of that going on before that.
Yeah, I guess really based on our research, for the most part, she's probably one of the more positive depictions. One of the first, I would say, more positive depictions, because everything else up until that point was like gloom and doom. And here you have, but that's just the nature of the show. Like I love the Jetsons. I grew up watching the Jetsons because my mom was a big fan. That's the whole point, is, you know, convenience and kind of living with technology. It's pretty rad.
Yeah, no, it's and I love, she's sassy, you know, and she really reminds me of Dot Matrix from Spaceballs, which we're moving forward in the timeline a little bit, but kind of, because I think Dot Matrix was played by Joan Rivers, I think, and I feel like Rosie the Robot kind of had that similar like type personality as well, like
humor. Yeah,
but yes, Rosie definitely added a lot to that show.
Oh, 100%. I remember thinking about her and being like, I wish I had one.
yeah. And now we have a Roomba, it just doesn't talk to us like that.
A shame.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I just wanted to touch on briefly, because I think it's current, and I think it's something that is just interesting, is kind of looking at comics. And honestly, I didn't write it down here, but like Doctor Who as well, like robots are very much a present part of popular culture today, clearly, obviously in Star Wars, but just in other forms of media as well. Following Rosie's introduction in the early 60s, you have Ultron and the Vision's introduction in the late 60s. Ultron being more of it's a high intelligence robotics. When he was made of high intelligence robotics. And then, you know, the Vision is more of a synthesoid, but I think there is still like that kind of android-esque. He just also happens to have like a human body.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, just seeing the year 1968 on those, when like Ultron and the Vision were out there, and just how fully formed their characters were back then. And then obviously getting to see them like on screen today is incredible.
It's so cool. I love it so much. It's so neat to see how they've translated things over into the MCU. And it's really cool to see how these characters can still be relevant. I mean, what, 40 years later, at least 50 years later?
Yeah.
40 years later?
And even, yeah, no, that all the years run together when you get up there in age. But yeah, something 40, 50, 60, something like that. But yeah.
A long time.
Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, with them, like, especially with Ultron, like, you're going back to that, like, fear of, oh my God, the robots are going to take over the world. Like, especially.
Yeah, but then you have, I'm interrupting. I'm getting excited.
No, go for it.
But you have Vision as the counter, right, which is interesting. I mean, clearly a little more human. But yeah, I love that you brought that up. You're right. That's kind of a going back to, but I think we're, like you said, was it automaton anxiety? Like that's still a thing. You still hear that every time they're like, oh, you know, every time they, you know, make an an automated checkout at, you know, Target, it's like, oh, they're taking away jobs and you know,
yeah. Yes. And not, not to get it into WandaVision spoilers, if you haven't watched WandaVision, but like definitely watch that show. It's so good. The scene with Vision, and skip ahead like 20 seconds if you don't want WandaVision spoilers, but with Vision and Vision and that whole conversation they have, and I won't like get into details, but that whole.
No, get it. You can go into details. It's fine. I feel like a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah, no, but just that whole conversation of when they go back and forth with each other is just, I don't know, that kid's probably spend like an entire episode, and I'm sure
we're talking about the ship of Theseus.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, plenty of other like smarter people have gotten into that, but I feel like, yeah, if you're going to talk about robots and like the history of them in going from the beginning of time and the fear of robots and then coexisting with robots and then like where we are now, WandaVision's good.
WandaVision's very good. Probably one of my favorite things they've made in a long time. All right.
100%.
So we're going there. We're going into Star Wars now. Let's do it. So
we're there.
Technically speaking, what makes a droid? I would say characteristic wise, we have they're built with easily inherent programmed abilities. Most have a self-awareness about them. And the biggest thing, which I said before, experiences that they have give them personalities, of course. And this is something that, you know, I'm sure happens a lot in Star Wars, but I don't think we actually see it too much, but I could see maybe where it would be necessary in like maybe more of a like factory environment or something like that. A memory wipe would be something that would take care of this, but I don't think, I mean, really looking at most of Star Wars, I don't think a lot of people wipe the memory of their droids. Like the droids are just vibing. They're just having a good time.
Yeah.
They're learning and they're developing those personalities. And I think that's so great. I think of the quote from Quill from The Mandalorian when he's talking about IG-11. I sometimes say 88 when I mean 11. It's very hard. Yeah. Droids are not good or bad. They are neutral reflections of those who imprint them. That was interesting.
That's so good. Yes, IG-11, that's a great example of, you know, not necessarily in their case, like a memory wipe per se, but obviously he got his head blown off by the Mandalorian, so I guess you could count that as a memory wipe. But yeah
because then he's like nice.
yeah exactly. Yes, and then he's like a nurse droid and everything. But yeah, the, you know, C-3PO obviously had his memory wiped in, you know, after Revenge of the Sith, but that's a pretty specific example. Like he saw some stuff go down that he had to have that. So
exactly.
Yeah, those regular memory wipes for sure are needed in some cases.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for our first episode in the droid series. I'm super blessed to have had Travis Bryan here today. And we will have a second part out of this discussion with Travis next week. So until then, Travis, where can people find you?
Yes, absolutely. The best places to follow me, really the top is Instagram. So I'm on Instagram at Force Time Pod. That's where I'm probably the most active. I'm also on Twitter at Force Time Pod. And a little bit less active, but I'm still there. And yeah, definitely follow the show, Force Time. You can find it on all platforms. And yeah, have some really exciting things coming up. And yeah, no, I just appreciate you having me today.
So we'll see you next week for part two. And until then, drink that water, don't trust the government, and always ask yourself, what would Sai Soodles do? Bye.
I've heard your voice thousands of times.
Mine might be the last one you hear.